Hey, fellow boundary breakers. If your current delegation systems are not working to get you out of the day-to-day in your business, there is an exercise on our website that is the first step to get you out of the delegation catch-22. I'm going to throw the link in the show notes for you to go ahead and download. In a traditional CEO role, you think of a CEO as the suit and tie and the powerful person and the big executive desk, and they're managing and yelling at their teams and people are doing stuff. And with a visionary, visionaries don't really care to be in charge of anything. They just want the space and the freedom to create, to do what they do best. So that is a huge difference between a visionary and a CEO, is your ability and willingness to hold on to being in charge of everything. Welcome to another episode of Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. I'm your host, Casey Gromer. I am the founder of She Suite Boutique. With over 20 years of marketing and business management experience, I work with small businesses and female founders using our signature business blueprint. On the show, you get tools, advice, resources, support, and encouragement that resonates with the modern businesswoman. So, fellow boundary breakers, let's dive in. Hello, fellow boundary breakers. Welcome to Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. This is the podcast that challenges you to forget stale, outdated, and inflexible business practices and embrace a new way of achieving success that leaves room for your life in the process. And in this episode, we are going to be talking about the process of transitioning from a CEO mindset to a visionary mindset and what that means for you and your business. But first, we're going to be celebrating another female founder who is breaking boundaries. Then we will get into the content of today's podcast. And finally, we will wrap up with a short little vent. So today we're lifting up the Female Founders Fund. Female Founders Fund is actually led by five women, and I cannot pronounce all of their names, and so I'm not going to list them here, but you can definitely find them online. And the Female Founders Fund was started in 2014, and the reason I'm highlighting them today is because their philosophy is that women will build the companies of tomorrow. I am in 100% agreement with that. And the Female Founders Fund is one of the leading sources of venture capital for female founders who are in the process of raising seed capital. So back in 2014, when Female Founders Fund was created, only 2% of all venture capital dollars went towards women-founded companies. This is on our She Suite Boutique page where we talk about women-owned businesses and venture capital. And then 5 years later, a similar study in 2019 showed that that amount had increased to all of 2.7%. So as of just a couple of years ago, only 2.7% of venture capital dollars is going towards companies that are founded by female entrepreneurs. This is an unacceptable statistic to me because women are starting businesses at 1.5 times higher rate than men are starting businesses and than the national average. And women are dominating the workforce, holding 56% of professional jobs. So why are women not getting venture capital and not taking leaps to start these businesses or not receiving seed fund? I don't know, but check out the Female Founders Fund if you are one of these women who are looking for capital or investment capital in your business. Go check them out. They are fabulous. Also, I want to ask, if you have an organization or a female founder or a woman in business that you think we should celebrate or lift up here on the podcast, can you go ahead and connect with me on LinkedIn and share that person's name so we can shout her out here on the podcast? All right, it is time now to get into the content of today's podcast, which is making the transition or preparing to make the transition from the CEO of your business to the visionary in your business. And you might be asking me right now, like, what is the difference? Aren't they the same thing? And in fact, they are not. So there are two things that drive an entrepreneurial business forward. The first thing is new, innovative, fresh, creative ideas. Ideas are what drive an entrepreneurial business forward. The second thing that drives an entrepreneurial business forward is executing on those ideas. So the traditional idea of a CEO is someone who does both of those things. This is a person that comes up with the ideas and then leads and manages the execution of those ideas. What we are finding as we are coming into more and more and more fabulous entrepreneurs, that a true entrepreneur many times is someone who has tons and tons of great ideas, but that person might also feel scattered and unfocused or unorganized, and they might struggle to actually get those ideas to the execution phase. Then we have this other leadership type of person who is very organized, is very strategic and focused. But that person lacks the creativity and lacks the ability to come up and generate all these amazing ideas. So this is where the idea of the visionary came about, in contrast to the CEO. So the visionary is someone whose main purpose in the business is to stay focused on the big picture, is to generate the ideas, and they are tasked with seeing the future and what the future holds for the business. So this person, this visionary, then in turn needs someone else to help them connect the dots between now and the future. Most of the time when a client comes to us, they will tell us, I see the future, I see this thing, I see the world as it will be, and I don't know how to get there. They are the type of person that wants to start today and get there tomorrow, and they cannot physically, tangibly break this roadmap or this journey into the chunks that it needs to be broken into to get between here and there, between point A and point B. So, are you a visionary or are you a CEO? That is a great question, and there's nothing wrong with either. But here are some questions we actually ask our clients in terms of when we first start working together to kind of gauge just how visionary they are or how CEO they are. So we kind of talk to them, and we don't even have to ask them really, because most of the time when someone comes to us, they tell us, I have all these great ideas. I have too many ideas. I have a lot of great ideas and I just can't get anything done. So are you someone who resonates with that? Are you someone that has many, many, many great ideas? And how easy is it for you to see the future and to envision what your success actually looks like and where you're headed and what you're wanting to accomplish? And then we ask you, do you know how to get there? So lots of times the visionary doesn't really know how to get there. They just know where there is. Another thing that we sometimes notice in some of our more visionary clients is this phenomenon called whiplash. And what that looks like is you have all these fantastic ideas, but they come at you at such a rapid speed that it doesn't give your team enough time to actually execute on them. So what whiplash is we're moving forward on this idea and then, oh, we're changing directions because now we have a different idea. And oh, look over here, there's another idea. So it's like very similar to the whole squirrel mentality. So that is whiplash. When you're not giving your team enough time or focus or priority to execute on an idea before we are moving them into a totally new idea. How is your attention to detail? Most visionary types do not have a lot of attention to detail, and they don't care to have attention to detail. And that is fine. That is kind of a little bit of a difference between a visionary and a CEO, is that level of attention to detail. And are you considered a creative type? I am not considered a creative type at all. But my daughter, however, is a very creative type. She is very energetic and has tons of ideas that flow through her all the time. For example, I'm going to share this example. I'm so proud of her. She has this idea. She wants to hold a bake sale. She wants to hold the bake sale on the corner of our road where the money that she makes is going to get donated to one of the care centers in our area. Isn't that just a great idea? I just love her. But then I ask her, I said, oh, that's a wonderful idea. So how are you going to do this? And she's immediately gone to the kinds of baked goods that she's going to sell at the bake sale. And that's it. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. How are you going to get people to stop by to the bake sale? Where are you going to put your baked goods that you have for sale? And so I start asking her all of these questions, and she's like, Mom, I just need you to make me a checklist of the things I need to execute this bake sale. So that is very similar to how a visionary might operate, is I know what I want to do, I can see what the end result looks like, and I just don't know how to get there. One other question we're going to ask ourselves is, how do you feel about being in charge? In a traditional CEO role, you think of a CEO as the suit and tie and the powerful person and the big executive desk, and they're managing and yelling at their teams and people are doing stuff. And with a visionary, visionaries don't really care to be in charge of anything. They just want the space and the freedom to create, to do what they do best. So that is a huge difference between a visionary and a CEO, is your ability and willingness to hold on to being in charge of everything. Now, one thing I want to mention, and I want to put this in a positive light, is that many visionaries also sometimes have ADHD, or if they're not diagnosed with ADHD, they think, gosh, you know what? They joke around about having, and this is actually very true. And I live in a whole family of people of ADHD. I'm the only one that's not. So there's a little bit of unbalance in my house right now, but that's fine. We're going to make it through. But anyway, I love this ADHD feature of my kids and my husband and my family, because you know what? They are fun and I am not. They have all the great ideas of things to do for, you know, the house and the fun and the trips and the, and guess what? Then I'm the one that plans them and brings them into fruition. Whereas if I didn't have them around me, we would have no great ideas. And I'd just sit around reading murder mysteries all the time. That's all I would do. And the same way with my clients is they have these fabulous ideas. And without them, the world would be just a boring place. We would not have innovation. We would not have any of these great products we have out there today. So, are you a visionary or are you a CEO? Now, we want to get into this move or this transition, because many of us, if we are running a business, we are in this role of CEO because that's what we know. That's where we are. So, how do we transition out of this role of CEO and move into being a visionary? There are so many benefits of actually following through with this. Even if you aren't scattered and unorganized, there are benefits to not being with your sleeves rolled up into the day-to-day of the business all the time. The benefits of acting in this visionary role are that it creates space for clarity, for creativity, for thought processes, for problem solving, for big picture dreaming. And all of that leads to faster and more focused forward momentum of the business when the ideas are coming and you've got the team around to help you execute on them. The more ideas that you come with, the better. And things are getting done better, they're getting done faster, and you have this more focused path or road towards your goals. The other benefit of transitioning into this visionary role versus the CEO is that the business is not running you anymore. So if you're in the CEO role, a lot of your day-to-day life is driven by what's happening in the business right now and what problems need to be solved and what projects need to get done and what, you know, all of that. And in the visionary role, that's not your job. That's not your ability. That's not your skill set. And so you don't do that anymore. And what does that do? It makes space for you to live your life. I hear so often of people who have dreamed of starting a business. And then once they get into the business, it's not what they dreamed of. They're not doing the creative piece of the reason that they started the business anymore. They're doing all the things they don't like doing, like the detail stuff and the managing stuff and the stuff that has nothing to do with why they originally started the business. And that has lots of after effects like burnout and losing the joy that you once had. And you take that stuff home with you and you work more than you need to. And yeah, there's a lot of downhill effects of putting yourself in a role in your business that you weren't meant to do. How do we start to make this transition? And the first thing we'll probably need to do is to take inventory of what it is that you do. What are the things that you are doing in your business day to day? Make a list, list them all out. Now, what part of that list are things that are not related to idea generation or big picture stuff or seeing the future, and highlight them or make a check mark next to them. And then look at what's on your list of things to do and try to decide what things you're holding on to that could be done by somebody else. There is no one else in this world that could come up with your same ideas or could have your same charisma or have your same future vision. That is all you. But the rest of these things, whether it's running team meetings or reading analytics reports or making tours of factories, like whatever that is, those are things that don't need to be done by you. So take that inventory, and that's the big picture of what am I doing? What should I be doing? What could I be doing? And what could somebody else take off my plate? Finally, one of the biggest differences between the visionary and the CEO is the leading and the managing of the team, creating and driving strategy and executing the plan. The CEO typically steps into that role of leading and managing the team and driving the strategy and executing the plan. As a visionary, that is not your role. You are not dealing with holding people accountable and with creating plans and with making sure that the stuff is getting done and that we're meeting our goals. That is not your role. Can you imagine if you didn't have that on your plate? That would just be amazing. Now, not for me, because that's the stuff I love to do. So I'm staying in my special skill set. There's one more piece I want to mention in this process of moving from CEO to visionary, and that is mindset. Oftentimes, this is the hardest piece to wrap our heads around when it comes to thinking of ourselves as a visionary versus a CEO. One of the first mindset blocks, if you will, is that the business can run without you. It can run without you being in the weeds every day. If you've done things the right way, your team is well equipped to make decisions, to think on their own, to think strategically, and to get stuff done without you needing to be there every step of the way. So this is a huge mindset shift that you do not need to be there every day in the weeds, available every second, answering all the questions. The second mindset shift is to rethink your idea of being, quote, busy. So if we think of the role of idea generation and big picture thinking, there's not a lot of physical labor involved there. I mean, this is a lot of brain space, right? And so you, as the entrepreneur of this business, might feel like, if I'm in this visionary role, I'm not really doing anything. We have to get past that mindset block of we're not doing anything. You are doing something. And in fact, you've worked your tail off to get to where you are now. And you are the one that has supplied the world with these amazing concepts, this amazing future vision. And now you are in charge of keeping that future vision on track and being the culture and the voice and the influential person behind that vision. So rethink what busy looks like. And then finally, celebrate and embrace your role as the creator. Creating things doesn't always look like rolling your sleeves up and digging in. Creating takes a lot of energy and it's not always visible to the outside world. This business would not function without you, and there's incredible value in that. Recognize that value and embrace that value and just be okay with being that role. So to wrap up this concept of moving from CEO to visionary, let's be clear, there's nothing wrong with being the CEO, and especially if that's your skill set. We've got a group of people out there who are amazing idea generators and amazing GSD people. And if that's what lights you up, there's nothing wrong with continuing to act on that if that's your skill set. But there's also nothing wrong with embracing your strengths as a creator and stepping away from the day-to-day. And in doing that, keep in mind that when you're creating brain space, you are also making space for the rest of your life and your priorities, which we all deserve. We all deserve to have our lives. Our children deserve to have us in our lives. Our spouses deserve to have us in their lives. Our families and friends deserve us. Our churches and our schools and in the organizations that we are working with, they all deserve to have a piece of that and a piece of us. And you can't always do that if you're sitting in that CEO seat. We are moving on to my rant or my vent of the week. This isn't so much of a vent as much as an observation and a little bit of a philosophical question. So I was reading an article. I get this newsletter every week, and I was reading an article talking about how the pandemic has increased e-commerce grocery purchases by 54%. And this is not surprising. So this is people ordering online and doing pickup, or people ordering grocery delivery from things like Instacart or Shipt. It got me thinking about how the pandemic has impacted our shopping habits as a whole and as a consumer. But then what about as a business? And how has the pandemic shifted how we serve customers? And I did a video and wrote a blog post about this at the very beginning of the pandemic when everything was shut down and people were scrambling to figure out this new way of life. And for some of us, this new way of life as a business owner has had some benefits and it has stuck around. And for some of us, we did not do well with this pivot or this change. So some of the things that I noticed as a consumer that have changed because of the pandemic is more businesses offering delivery or doing delivery for their goods, more opportunities or options for purchasing online or not having to go into a physical store to make a purchase. There has been definitely an increase in online ordering and purchasing. And then the other thing that people are now doing a lot more of is remote and flexible work. And when you're looking at some of the major corporations and you're hearing how a lot of them who had a very anti-remote work policy are now embracing remote work because they've seen and heard their employees over the last year talking about how the benefits of remote work actually made them more productive. So I'm curious if the pandemic has changed how you serve customers. And I'm wondering if it has made it harder or easier for you to do that. I'm also wondering if you think that some of these changes will stick around. So if you think about how you've shifted your business over the last year and a half, are you anticipating that you're going to hold on to some of that and maybe even and make it better and more robust? Or are you one of those businesses that can't wait to get back to business as usual? Here in my local market, there were a lot of businesses who did a great job at the onset of the pandemic, especially our local restaurants who offered online ordering and then pickup and or delivery. And what I've noticed over the last year is many of them are not offering that service anymore, and many of them never offered it to begin with. To be honest, I'm a little sad because I do love going into a restaurant. There's the ambiance and the atmosphere, but I also liked the convenience of being able to eat food from my favorite restaurant without having to pick up the phone and order or get out of my car to walk into the restaurant. So that's an example of one of the changes here in our local market that I wish had stuck around a little bit. And then I also want to ask if you've considered different ways to serve your customers, employees, and team members. And oftentimes when we use this, you know, the situation as an opportunity to think about how we're serving customers in a different way, and maybe it doesn't even need to be an online option versus an in-person option, but just thinking about what our customers really need from us right now and how can we serve them better. So I'm going to be talking about this over on LinkedIn. This is the platform that I use for all my business-related conversations. It's a really underutilized platform, in my opinion. So if we aren't already connected on LinkedIn, head over there, look me up, Casey Gromer, and request a connection or click to follow. And tell me that you heard this episode or that you heard my podcast so I don't think you're a spammer. And let's talk about the ways we're serving customers and how the pandemic has impacted you, whether you think it is going to stick around or if it's going to go back to business as usual. And let's have this conversation over on LinkedIn. Honey, what is it that you wanted to tell our listeners today?
Get out there and break some boundaries and do it for me and my generation.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Female Founders Breaking Boundaries. If you enjoyed this episode, would you be willing to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're tuning in? You can connect with me on LinkedIn using the link in the show notes. And until next week, don't be afraid to get out there and break some boundaries.